Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And we are continuing to practice our social distancing. And so we have on the phone with us Sue Thiesinga. She is with the American Red Cross, and she is their external communications manager. And we're thrilled to have her on the phone because she wants to tell listeners about some great needs, and maybe we can help in some way. So welcome to KDWA. Thanks for calling in today, Sue.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk with you.
Well, we are very excited to talk to you as well. So the American Cross, we know the name and we know that they are always there for us in times of need. But I don't think I really know a lot about your organization. Do you think you could kind of give us a history of it, please?
Well, we are a very trusted brand in the United States. Everybody knows about the Red Cross, but oftentimes people don't know exactly what we do. And so one thing that we do, which I'm most involved with, is we collect about 40% of the nation's blood supply. And so we are out in the communities collecting blood from generous donors, but we do a lot more. We're also in communities helping with disasters, whether it's a flood, a home fire, or something even worse than that. So disaster relief in the United States is important to us. We also do training and, about like swimming lessons, CPR lessons. So we educate the public on how to stay safe. Those are probably the lines that we're most known for, but we also have a service to armed forces. So if people are away from their families and a disaster happens here, we're able to call the military and get in contact with that serviceman and make sure that they get home if they can, or, just help them communicate in times of need. We also do a lot of international services. So, again, we're just there to help people who need it the most.
Are you a government entity?
No, we're not funded by any government funds. We're independent of that.
So where do you get your funding?
Well, we get a lot of our funding from individuals and companies who support our life-saving mission. And we rely on the generosity of the public to fund us.
So can you give us a little bit more of a history of where the American Red Cross originated, or did it originate in America, the Red Cross?
Well, our founder, Clara Barton, founded us, and she worked on the front lines of the Army, and it was her mission to help people in need, no matter what their color, their race, their religion. And so she was, our forefront, and what a remarkable woman. She led the American Cross for our first 23 years. She founded the American Cross in 1881, and she served as the president of the organization until 1904.
So her mission then has continued on and grown internationally.
Absolutely. Her legacy to our nation was service to humanity. And it's reflected in all of the services daily by our employees and volunteers.
So you do have a lot of volunteers, I know, and I would assume that many of them do your blood drives, help out with your blood drives. What are some of the other things that your volunteers do?
Lots of things. A lot of times they are the first ones to go out and help people at home fires. When the Red Cross comes, typically it's someone who is a volunteer. We have volunteers who drive our trucks to and from the blood manufacturing labs, and they deliver life-saving blood to hospitals locally. There's a million different volunteer opportunities, and if anyone out there is listening and is interested in working for an organization like the American Red Cross, we're always looking for volunteers.
Well, that's really great to hear. And a lot of this information, I know, can be found on your website.
Absolutely. Anyone interested in volunteering can go to redcross.org, and there's a tab on volunteering, how you become a volunteer, and all the opportunities that are available.
Thank you for telling us that. I would really like to learn more about your need, especially right now.
Well, the American Red Cross has an ongoing critical need for blood and platelet donations because of the coronavirus uncertainties. We've had over 9,000 blood drives across the country cancel due to coronavirus issues. So that means more than 200,000 blood drives, 250 fewer blood donations have come in the last couple of weeks due to that. So again, it's a critical need for blood and platelet donations. We're working around the clock to identify new blood drive sponsors who can host drives, because many of them have been canceled. For instance, we hold a lot of blood drives at schools. Well, school's been canceled and they're not hosting those blood drives. So we had to either move that blood drive somewhere else where we could fit people in, or we had to cancel it. So that all adds up to about 9,000 so far. So we're continuing to, you know, figure out solutions to this, move blood drives to some place that can host us.
How will the governor's stay-at-home executive order impact you?
You know, that's a really good question and very timely since that just happened. But the Red Cross is exempt to that declaration because we're an essential part of the health care. And we need to make sure that we continue to collect blood for patients in need. So again, people are probably thinking, well, I've been told to stay home, but yet I've been asked to go donate blood. And we have to remember that blood is essential to our health care system. We don't want to create another health care crisis on top of the coronavirus crisis. Then we'd be really in dire straits. So it's important for healthy donors, if you're healthy, to come out and donate blood. The thing is, people might be frustrated when they go to our website to look for a blood drive donation opportunity. They might not be able to find an appointment today or tomorrow because so many people, we've seen an outpouring of support for coming out to donate blood. But this crisis is not going to end anytime soon. We're going to have to continue to have people come out to donate. So I would encourage people to check out our website. And if you can't make an appointment in the near future, look out a week or two or even a month and schedule your donation appointment, because the need for blood is constant. In fact, in the United States, every 2 seconds, someone needs a blood transfusion. And so we constantly need to replenish our inventory.
So what is involved in donating blood for people that might be listening and have never done it? How long does it take? How healthy do you need to be? What kind of screenings are in place and all of that?
Well, why don't I start with some of the safety precautions that we've put in place right now to ensure that our donors and our staff are safe. When you arrive at a blood drive now, you will be asked to have your temperature taken. We want to make sure that people are fever-free right now and that they have no cold or flu symptoms, because only healthy blood donors can donate. So we've put that safety precaution in place. Right when you walk in the door, you'll be asked to have your temperature taken before you even enter the blood drive area. We've also used social distancing so that we can, we've put our beds further apart so donors aren't next to each other. We've also added hand sanitizers throughout the blood drive so people can continuously disinfect their hands. All our phlebotomists wear gloves. We've also tried to stagger blood drive appointments so that there aren't as many people in the waiting room or donating blood or in our refreshment area. We want to consistently make sure that we're practicing the social distancing protocol that's in place right now. So when you arrive, now you'll have your temperature taken and then you'll register. In the state of Minnesota, you need to be 16 years old or 17 with parental consent. So this might be a great time for kids without school happening to come out and donate. Then you register, and after that, then you go into a health history where they do a mini physical. They'll take your temperature again. They'll take your pulse, your blood pressure, and your hemoglobin to make sure your iron levels are safe enough for you to donate. And then the actual donation itself only takes about 5 to 10 minutes. And people think that takes a lot longer, but it's actually a very short process. And then after that, you get to have some refreshments and kind of replenish your system. Cookies and juice are always good. And then you can leave knowing that you really did something good that day, that you're really helping to save lives. So the whole process takes about an hour out of your day.
And how much blood exactly do you take from each person, or does it vary?
Nope. It's very regulated. We take 1 pint of blood, and the average human being has 10 to 12 pints of blood. So, and that regenerates. That's why you can donate blood every 56 days, and it takes about 42 days for your body to replenish the red cells that you donated.
So we've heard that you are short on blood, but also on platelets. What are platelets, please?
Well, platelets are the clotting component of blood, and they're often needed by cancer patients or burn victims. And it's a special process. We only collect platelets out of our donation centers in the Twin Cities because of the equipment and the staff. And it also takes a little bit longer. It actually takes about 2 to 2.5 hours to donate platelets. And what they do is it's a regular blood donation, but then your blood is spun through a apheresis machine. And basically the red cells and the plasma are spun out and the platelets stay, and they're returned to the donor. And then we just collect the platelet component of the blood.
So the same aftercare, then you would have snacks and you'd be good to go.
Oh, absolutely. And for some people, that's the best part of the donation.
Tell us what happens then after you donate blood. Where does it go and how long can it be stored?
Yeah, blood in the Minnesota region all comes back to our St. Paul manufacturing lab, where it is tested or sent out for testing and manufactured into different blood components. So it might be red cells, it might be plasma, it might be different components of blood, and then it is basically manufactured and almost always goes to hospitals as fast as it comes in. We distribute the blood right from our St. Paul manufacturing lab to local hospitals across the state.
And how long can it last?
Well, blood is a perishable product. It can last, it has a shelf life of 42 days.
So is it refrigerated then?
Yes, it's refrigerated, and that's why it's all temperature controlled, and platelets have a different, they only have a shelf life of 5 days. So these are liquid gold to patients who need them because they have to be transfused to a patient almost immediately.
I bet. I know that we all have different kinds of blood. Can you go over that? It's been a long time since I had biology class.
Well, blood does have different types. We have A, B, and O, and then AB. It's just about different antigens on your blood, and it's safest to transfuse the same blood type to the patient. The interesting thing is type O is really interesting because type O negative is the universal blood type, and that can be transfused to any patient anytime. It's used a lot of times in emergency rooms when there's not enough time to type out patient's blood. They can be given O negative. And O positive blood can be transfused to any positive blood type. And it's also the most common blood type. So there's a need for all blood types right now. And it's another thing to note is you don't need to know your blood type in order to donate. So if you've never donated before, but you go, I don't know my blood type, that's okay. Come in and donate, and then after your first donation, the Red Cross will send you information on what your blood type is.
Then we have that information as well. So Sue, I know that you are continuing to ask for donations and also ask for volunteer help as well. We should just go to your website, redcross.org. Would that be our best bet?
You know, that is the best bet, redcrossblood.org, or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. We also have a Red Cross blood donor app that you can download right on your mobile phone, and that is a great little tool. It does a lot of things. It keeps track of all your blood donations. It tells you when you're eligible to donate again. You can complete a rapid pass on that, and I can tell you what that means in a minute. But one of the best things about it is if you schedule your blood donation appointment through the blood donor app, it will track your blood donation journey. So you know when it's being tested, you know when it's being manufactured, and you even know which hospital in what state it goes to.
So what is Rapid Track?
Rapid Pass is an online health history. And previously, you would have to come in and do that right before your blood donation appointment at the blood drive. It's an online health history. But they've made it so that now you can do that online the day of your blood donation and just present the barcode with it, and they'll scan that. So you've done that work before, and we hope that that will take about 15 minutes off your donation time.
So these are also easy tips for us, and it makes your job easier as well, I would assume and hope.
Well, yep, and I think the donor is really happy to do those things ahead of time, and then they don't have to worry about it once they get there.
Sue, thank you so much for calling in today. I'm thrilled that we got to learn about not only the Red Cross, but your needs and your ongoing needs. And I liked when you said that, you know, if we can't find a blood drive right now online, schedule something out because the need isn't going to go away.
Right. And I just think the nation's in turmoil right now, and people are looking for ways to help. Oftentimes we just feel helpless. We don't know what to do. But by donating blood, you know that you're really giving back to the community in a very meaningful way. It's important that we ensure a stable blood supply through crises like this. So I just want to say thank you to all your listeners who are out there, and encourage them to become a blood donor if they're not already, or to make that blood donation appointment for the weeks and months ahead.
Great advice. Sue, thank you again. Our guest is Sue Thiesinga, and she is with the American Red Cross locally here in Minnesota. And wonderful, wonderful advice. Continued success, and thanks for all the hard work that you're doing. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.